An emaciated juvenile humpback whale washed up on a West Seattle beach this weekend and died a short time later. Yesterday, it was towed off the beach, then sunk out in Puget Sound. John Kalbokidis is a research biologist with Cascadia Research in Olympia. He spoke with KUW's Kim Malcolm about what we can learn from the whale's death.
Our exam is still, was fairly limited when we looked at it. Partly this animal came ashore alive. It had some clear things that contributed to the cause of death. It was very thin, very emaciated. It had a very high parasite load, both external and internal, and it did have some external injuries, some of them from killer whales. None of them by themselves seem like would have caused the death of the animal, so we're still kind of searching for additional clues we might get from analysis of the tissues to fully explain why it died.
So how do you dispose of a 39-foot whale?
Every time we have a whale wash up in Puget Sound, it poses a big challenge because our preferred option is to let it decompose naturally on the beach, and that's rarely an option. So we either look for a location we can tow it to, or in this case, as we've done a few other times, we look to sink it. And that way it creates a whole community of organisms that will feed off it on the bottom, which is what would naturally occur, and it's actually a rather rich food source that it's the best option rather than, say, taking it to a landfill or something like that.
And where exactly are you going to put the body of the dead whale?
The disposal of this particular animal took some negotiating and arranging of permits and locations. Washington State Ferries helped with relocating it. We have a private company, Global Diving and Salvage, that's actually today moving the animal from the ferry dock to a location that's been identified with the help of NOAA and with the Department of Natural Resources that's fairly deep in the Sound, and it will be sunk there. It's just a short ride off of where the animal died, and so we'll have it pretty close, but in deep water where it's unlikely to surface or interfere with anyone's operations.
How do you go about sinking it?
You know, many whales, when we get them, are highly bloated, and that's because they've started to decompose and air has trapped in the body cavity, and you have to attach heavy weights to it and open up the body to release those gases. We have the opposite situation in this case. Because the animal was so thin and had just died, it had not bloated, it was extremely negatively buoyant. So actually a big part of our challenge was attaching floats. We ended up attaching 5 different floats to it in order to keep it from sinking so we could tow it effectively.
Well, this isn't something you expect to see in the city, but as you mentioned, it does happen. We are on Puget Sound after all. So how often do we encounter dead whales on our beaches around the area?
The number can vary quite a bit. The predominant species is gray whales, because close to 20,000 gray whales migrate past Washington. And we've had, up to 25 to 30 a year in the big gray whale mortality years that occurred in 1999, 2000. Humpbacks have been far rarer. Generally, the humpbacks have been maybe one a year or one every 2 or 3 years for Washington State as a whole. But now we've had 3 in the last year just inside Puget Sound. So we've seen a major increase, and that parallels what we're seeing out with live whales.
Tell me a little bit about the humpbacks. We're familiar, perhaps more familiar, with orca whales. They travel in pods, the young ones and the adults together. What do humpbacks do? What's their family structure like?
Baleen whales, and humpbacks are baleen whales, meaning they have baleen instead of teeth, and they represent some of the largest of the whale species, don't tend to form the sort of long-term stable social bonds that you see in some of the toothed whales like orca whales. So they'll often cooperatively feed together, associate together. Mothers will be with their calves for 6 months to a year. But other than that, they don't tend to form those more stable, long-term social bonds.
What does the death of this whale and it washing up here in West Seattle tell you about populations of whales around the Sound and in the Salish Sea?
Well, overall, it's been a very encouraging story. Humpback whales have recovered from commercial whaling, and many people don't realize commercial hunting for whales occurred even by the United States through 1966. We had whaling stations operating out of San Francisco Bay through those years. So, within our lifetime or the generation time of a whale, there's been hunting for them. So what we've been seeing, and I started studying humpback whales in the mid-1980s on the U.S. West Coast, we've been seeing a steady about 7% per year increase in number of humpback whales as they recover from that commercial whaling. So just on the U.S. West Coast, I've seen these populations go from, 5 to 700 now to, we estimate, on the whole West Coast, about 3,000 humpback whales. And as that's occurred, and this has been what's been most dramatic in recent years, we've seen them expand into some former habitats that they used to use but have not been seen for a while. And that includes Puget Sound and the inside waters. And just since the late 2000s, and even more dramatically in the last 2 years, we've seen this huge increase in the number of humpbacks coming into our inside waters. And I think that's a result of that population expansion.
And what does this tell you overall about the health of the Puget Sound?
Well, it's going to sort of put a, it'll be an interesting test of the health of the Puget Sound. Humpback whales are capable of feeding on krill or fish. Many of our small forage fish populations are not doing very well in Puget Sound. Yet we've seen a recovery and a return to Puget Sound of several species. Humpback whales are one of them, but also harbor porpoise, another species that feeds on small fish. Along with both of those trends, we've seen this huge uptick in number of strandings. And some of that is dead animals like we've seen here, but we've also seen a dramatic increase in live animals that are entangled in crab gear or in nets. So we've seen kind of an increase in conflicts with human activities. So I think it's both good news, but it's going to pose a challenge both due to these conflicts with human activities and a real test of how healthy is our sound and able to support some of the larger wildlife populations that used to exist.